Mr. Oh, I let you.
Hey, get in here. Dallas is about to start.
Welcome to the Ewing Barbecue, where we talk about the television show Dallas. My name is Mary.
And I'm Sarah.
Hello. And I'm drinking a nice bottle of bourbon tonight.
So. A whole bottle?
Yeah, why not? It's summer. I don't have like, anywhere to be tomorrow.
I guess, yeah.
Mary, what are you drinking tonight? Because you couldn't drink last week.
I still can't.
She's drinking two bottles.
I still can't. I'm drinking water.
I'm still on wine, and unfortunately, I started early because I was home early, so this is going to be a great podcast. Woo! I'm on number three.
Too bad this first episode sucks, but before we get to that, any housekeeping?
I'm meeting my daughter in her college dorm tomorrow. Yay. So I'm off work tomorrow. That's why I drank early.
I do have a bit of Dallas news, though.
Okay.
September 28th and 29th in Anaheim, California, Charlene, Patrick, and Linda will be appearing at Nostalgia 80s Con.
Where?
I will have Anaheim, California. I will be posting information about that on the Facebook page. I just got the information today. So.
Okay.
What are the dates?
They will be there. It's like a Comic-Con, but it's for 80s nostalgia shows. The other guests this time will be Val Kilmer, Christopher Lloyd, Cary Elwes, John Schneider, Catherine Bach, Tom Wolpatz, Nina Blackwood from MTV.
Oh, nice.
Mark Goodman, Matt Frewer, Lonnie Anderson, Howard Hessman, Eddie Mecca. And Cindy Williams from Laverne and Shirley's.
Wow.
I love Cindy and I love Lonnie. What dates are those again?
September 28th and 29th in Anaheim. I'll be.
That's my son's birthday weekend.
Yeah, I can't go, but I want to.
I know.
My birthday is actually on a Thursday this year. It's the 26th.
That's my son's birthday.
No, it's my birthday. I've had it long.
There you go. Oh, wow. Oh, see, we're all linked together somehow.
Wow. And Linda Hamilton, Sarah Connor. September 26th.
That pisses me off because I want to go like to an 80s Comic-Con thing so
that would
bad.
Be so cool.
They had one in Chicago the year before last, and my friend that I really don't even really know that well, she's like my daughter's friend from elementary school, and I kind of keep up with her mom on Facebook, and just randomly she sent me this message and said, I saw this and thought of you, and her daughter's like in acting, and so she sent it to me before it was announced, and it was like a Chicago thing, and they had like New Kids on the Block, and then they had like Dallas people, Knott's Landing people, and it was like 2 years ago, and I was like, well, I'm poor, I can't go right now, and I was so pissed, but supposedly they're going to do it again, like soon, in a different city.
No, they have Boston Comic-Con this weekend, and I'm going to go in and, did anyone ever watch St. Elsewhere?
Yeah, a little bit, it was kind of past my bedtime, but,
Well, Dr. Craig is going to be there, who also played Mr. Feeny on Boy Meets World.
Okay.
So I need to go meet him because he's like 90, and it's like, you know, you don't know how long they're going to be, so.
Yeah, that's true. So I have some housekeeping. It is a comment, but it's about Dallas, and it's not even to our podcast, but I thought it was funny. I was actually in a Facebook group, and it's a group for VC Andrews, which I don't know if you're all familiar, but VC Andrews is an author that was very popular with girls from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. She wrote the book Flowers in the Attic. And
I love that book.
So that's not familiar to me, but I'm not a girl, so.
Well, many boys did, but you may not have. Anyway, so I was in a little fan group for VC Andrews on Facebook, and it came up something about Dallas, and so then I was like, well, you know, I actually have a podcast about that, and someone was like, oh my gosh, and they wrote this. Okay, her name is Mandy Marshall Lindsay, and she said, OMG, yes. So the night that Bobby punched JR for the first time, it aired in the U.S. on February 23rd, 1979, which is probably an episode that's coming up soon.
It's coming up, yeah.
And my dad refused to attend my birth in the delivery room until he'd seen it.
Oh, my God. God, it's awesome.
Which is totally cool.
He has his priorities in order. Right. Has his priorities in order.
Right.
It's awesome.
Ewing first, baby second.
All right, Mady Marshall Lindsay.
So I told her she should listen, and I don't know if she does, but if you are listening, let us know.
And one other thing that just popped up. Brenda Strong
been
promoted to series regular on 13 Reasons Why. Season 3 drops on Netflix on August 23rd.
Oh, wow.
So she has been promoting it on her social media, and I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Cool. I saw that yesterday.
Yep.
Cool. Go, Brenda.
We like Brenda.
I do.
All right. So this week we are talking about Season 2, Episode 13, Kidnapped.
What the hell? Holy, we got the wrong Ewing.
What are you going to do with me?
That's not up to us. That's up to your folks.
Have ready by noon tomorrow $1,500,000 in out-of-sequence bills. Cliff Barnes, stacked as a go-between. Remember, his life depends on you.
Let's kill him and get out of Texas. We can go to Wyoming. Don't get panicky on me.
It was written by Camille Marchetta, directed by Lawrence Dobkin, aired December 17th, 1978, and is awful. It is a piece of trash.
And it is. The guest cast, who are these people? Stephen Davies played Will Hart. Paul Coslow played Al Parker. Kelly Jean Peters, who actually turned up on MASH in 1983, played Faye Parker, and she looked like you just wanted to reach to the screen and punch this woman in the face. I mean,
okay, but I kept seeing her, and I kept saying, what did she play in? And I looked and looked and looked. I guess I missed the MASH. The only thing that I could find that I may have known her from, and she was only in one episode, was Growing Pains. She played Miss Kuzman, that neighbor bitch lady.
Ah.
But it was one episode. So it's like, but her face, I guess, is just one of those.
Yeah, maybe.
Ones you think you know. I don't know. But I did not like any of the kidnappers.
And you just wanted to reach through and just slap her. She's just like irritating.
Everyone was irritating.
The whole show was irritating. Episode.
But this was a first in this episode. We had a couple of things. Ken Kershaval has moved up to the credits in the beginning of the episode, but not at the main titles.
Okay.
And Teresa had finally replaced Francesca.
Yes, I did notice that it was. We finally see Teresa.
And we had our first reference to Sue Ellen's evil mother.
Right. Mm-hmm. Which may be coming back.
Right.
But the funny thing is, this episode ranked 18 for the week, which is really good. This is like the second time it's been like in the teens. So,
and it's
this
always
is one of those episodes that you're going, what the hell is this show trying to be? What is going on here? This is like another, it's like Runaway, another self-contained piece of garbage. Ugh.
Honestly, like I was watching this and I don't think that. I think the only episode I dislike more than this one so far is Winds of Vengeance.
Yes.
And I only like Winds of Vengeance because it's Brian Dennehy.
Right, and that is the only reason to like Winds of Vengeance.
I think the only thing that came out of this episode is the fact that, and we'll get to this later, but that he's kidnapped because he's in JR's car. They think they're kidnapping JR. Mm-hmm. So that kind of it's like, everybody hates him. But then you really don't ever know if it's they're kidnapping him for the money or they're kidnapping him for some kind of revenge. It seems like just the money. They know he's rich and he's the eldest son.
Yeah, that's what I got from it.
That's what I got from it too. So, but it's still, it's stupid.
And they open with the shot of the creepy guy scoping out South Fork. And how long have they been stalking the family? Because some of the pictures were like, from the episode where Sue Ellen dropped JR off at the airport earlier in the season.
Right. So they've been taking pictures
the whole time.
And they have like a whole slideshow.
I know they had, I said, little kidnappers meeting at the beginning and the seedy little apartment with graffiti everywhere.
The graffiti.
It was so stupid.
The graffiti drives me bananas. I hate all of the graffiti. Some of the.
The one on the doors is punk rule.
Yeah, punk rule.
Punk rule.
Like, what?
Right.
No one there knows anything about punk. Sorry. It's not a thing.
And they have that ugly, the ugly lamp, and the ugly, just everything was ugly.
Well, it's supposed to be, because it's supposed to be, like, dirty.
Right. And they didn't do their homework, because they, I don't know if anyone picked up on this, but they referred to Lucy as JR's granddaughter.
Oh, I didn't see. I didn't pick up on that. Oh, I didn't either. The apartment is so shitty, and they're supposed to be dirty old rednecks, but then they come out wearing, like, fur coats and designer glasses. So what the fuck? I don't get it.
I don't know.
Why is that bitch wearing a fur coat when she when she's in the middle of a kidnapping?
I don't know, but she is a crazy bitch. She's the craziest of all of them.
Now, I think that they were near the airport, because you could hear what sounded like airplanes.
Oh. I thought that, too.
Which is maybe why they have a picture of Sue Ellen taking JR to the airport.
Ah.
Dun, dun, dun.
Okay.
It all comes back around.
And, well, and it's funny because Bobby takes JR's car, but JR's not at the office. He walked to the hotel? Since when does JR walk to a hotel?
That's what I wondered. Like, how did JR get to that hotel if he didn't have his car? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Maybe he took a cab to be incognito. I don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, that didn't make any sense.
I mean, he obviously doesn't care that much to do that in the first place.
They're sitting at the table eating, and JR gets up to leave after the discussion about, like, Sue Ellen's mother, and he says, "Oh, I'll see you tonight." And she goes, "Oh, you're coming home tonight."
Oh, busted.
I love her little digs that she throws. Mm-hmm. She tries to be all elegant, but she throws those digs in. I think my favorite part is whenever they pull over Bobby and then they realize that it's the wrong Ewing and they pull him out and they're like, "Oh, it's the wrong one." And the girl says, "May have the wrong geese, but he could still lay a golden egg." Like, I love it. I'm like, "Oh, bitch, you know. Girl, you got you one. You're going to get a She's just so aggressive. Like, I was like, of all those three, it's two guys and a girl. And, like, she is, like, the aggressive bitch. She acts all, like, kind of weird in the meeting thing. But then when they get him, she's, like, yanking around the chains and stuff. And I'm like, she's, like, about to rape him.
And then she's trying to have, like, some gratuitous sex scene with him later.
I know.
Yeah. Like, gross. Ew. What's happening?
It's weird. She's definitely a rough, mean nut job, for sure.
Rough, mean nut job. What is up with that guy's hair? Ow. It's just like, it looks almost like a Donald Trump toupee thing going on, but I think it's his real hair. And it just is like...
It is, I think so too.
And it's just like flying all weird directions. What is happening?
He probably would have voted for Trump.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
And in the apartment, there's, like, nothing in that apartment, right? Except for when they're panning, when they walk into the room, there's just a container of spoons. There's a random container of plastic spoons sitting on the counter.
And then...
What?
And then there's a sign... there's, like, spray paint in the, like, closet behind them. Said Kilroy was here. What is this, an ad for like a Styx album?
I wrote that too because that's my favorite Styx album. That actually, Kilroy Was Here, is my very first album that I got.
Maybe they do punk.
But Styx is not. By
I know, but like at least they're like the music.
Genre. But also that wasn't even out yet.
It wasn't.
No, it came out in 1983. So, but Kilroy was here.
Okay, so it's got a reference.
Yeah, it's a reference that I probably should have looked up before this episode, but didn't. I think it has something to do with World War II. I don't know.
That's gonna bother me. Okay, that's your homework. I need to know that now. Now it's gonna bother me because if it wasn't out in Styx yet, then it had to have been referenced something else, and then that's where Styx got it from.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, it's going to bother me now. Damn it.
But the episode would have been better if he sang Mr. Roboto.
Mr. Roboto, thank you very much.
Did anyone notice that they never gave that bimbo that JR was with a name?
Of course, because it doesn't even matter. Why does it matter?
That was a filler scene. A filler scene with a blonde in a bed.
Right. Kilroy Was Here was an American meme that became popular during World War II, typically seen in graffiti. Its origin is debated, but the phrase and in the distinctive accompanying doodle became associated with GIs in the 1940s. A bald-headed man, sometimes depicted as having a few hairs, with a prominent nose peeking over a wall with his fingers clutching the wall.
Okay, read the first sentence again.
It was a popular meme that became popular during World War II.
Okay, but it says about graffiti, so okay, maybe it's all kind of linked together.
I guess
the origin is still debated, but okay, that's the short of it. I don't want to go into a history lesson.
Okay, well, let's cut to they've already got Bobby blindfolded. They bring him back to the apartment. Blah 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 to this nasty little apartment with a rickety bed that basically breaks when they throw him on it, and then.
Wait, before Bobby leaves, can we just acknowledge that he has is having a problem with, like, secretaries? He doesn't seem to be the same one. It's like Murphy Brown had a new secretary episode.
I never had the same one until later. It gets constant when, like, season 3, maybe?
Right, when Jenna Michaels maybe? Took over the role permanently.
I love Phyllis and Slaw. Sorry, that's way later. I'm sorry, 3 glasses in.
Okay, so they take Bobby back to the place. They mm-hmm. chain him up and like a dog, you know. And
yes, rickety old bed.
Right, funny. You can hear the airplane.
You can. He has that terrible escape attempt that is just the worst idea ever. Like, what are you thinking?
Wait, the one towards the end with the chair?
Yeah.
I was like, what are you going to do?
Like, and, you're still chained up. You're still chained. And you're making all sorts of noise.
Are you going to pull the bed frame out with you and run down the street with the bed frame?
Yeah, he wasn't even being discreet. And it's 3 against 1 and they have a gun.
He's so terrible.
There's no discreet. Ugh. Yeah, no. I didn't have many notes except for the rickety bed. That really bothered me. It was like bending when they threw him on.
I have the, for some reason, I thought Jock had really nice hair in this episode. I don't know what, it was very flat.
I did too. That comes down later, but I have that written down. It was fluffy, and the grade it looked so purple. Mm.
I think Lucy's sudden interest in school is very laughable, how she wants to go to school in New England.
Oh Jesus right. Christ. I wrote that down too.
Is she ever at school? I mean, she's always at home, clinging to granddaddy.
But Sue Ellen was sitting with her, and they were looking through, like, college books together. How fucking stupid is that? Neither one of them give 2 shits where Lucy goes to school. Right. Unless Sue Ellen just wants her out of the house and is trying to help her.
No, so. the kidnapper guy calls up Cliff, tells him the instructions are buried, you know, ground.
He's the go-through guy.
And then they cut to nighttime. Did it take him that long to drive out there and get the thing and go? Or was he taking his time? Did he stop for some food along the way?
I don't know, because I have that. And then it cuts to Lucy talking about school in New England. So I was like, they really did. It was like that afternoon / nighttime. And your brother-in-law's life is on the line, and you don't go straight there. Or even just call before you come, because it's quicker.
Maybe stop for some Chinese.
I mean, maybe. Ring-a-ling, motherfucker. I mean, you've got to call. Right. It is 1978.
Hello. Let the fingers do the dialing. Hello, my bell here.
So when Cliff gets there at the same time, the phone's ringing. Ellie answers it. It's somebody calling saying that they found JR's car. While Cliff is telling them the story about how he got the phone call, blah, 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 blah. Correct? Is that right?
Okay. Yeah.
I don't really understand when he says, well, I do understand it. It's just stupid. Well, he says, Bobby's kidnapper said they need to, they're going to do the, wait, to bury it opposite entrance to the ranch. Okay. If I'm a kidnapper and I'm afraid of getting caught by anybody, am I going to bury whatever across from the ranch? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, that was, why couldn't they said drive to San Antonio and put it under the I-59? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't understand.
Right. I don't know. I mean, it bothers me.
It's as bad as when the reporter snuck on the South Fork and Miss Elliot threatened to blow his head off.
Exactly. It's just stupid.
Since then, you would think they would have people patrolling the ranch at all hours.
Yeah.
You know, all the perimeters. Well, that's dumb right there. But then we get to see JR and Cliff working together for the first time.
And he did not like it. And that's when Mary, I noted about Jock's hair and Jock's really cool motherfucking glasses that he has on. Did you see his glasses?
The style in this episode was off the hook. Everyone's wearing bell bottoms in this episode. Everyone.
Yes. Let me see. I think maybe the person changed. Let me just look really quick at my book. Because I think maybe That is right. I did. His glasses were fucking cool for hitting old man. I was like, oh my God. I was like, look at that jock. Look at his style. I mean, I literally have jock's glasses. Love.
Of course, he's drinking. He's drinking still. Never mind the recent heart attack. You know, he's drinking. He's out. Yeah. You know, he goes out to the bar and he smokes. He's...
Well, so Ellen's drinking and she's pregnant. And nobody cares.
Oh, I forgot about
that. Nobody cares at all.
Of course, back then you could still smoke in the hospital. So
they probably forgot about that storyline for the moment. Oh, that's right.
I feel like it's the 70s, and people didn't care as much. I think in the 70s.
I know we have the same book, but do you have another book that shows maybe who the costume designer was in Kidnapped, and maybe like the one before or before? Because I just think it changed. It's totally different in this episode, for real.
It'd probably be an IMDb.
I don't have anything.
It might. I don't know why. I have 10,000 style things written down in both these episodes because I just, it just bothers me. I just notice things like that.
I do too. And that's awesome that you also notice that.
I do. I mean,
I'm also noticing all the ugly statues all over the place in the living room.
There were a lot of statues. Yeah.
Yes, I've been trying to notice that since y'all talked about the wallpaper and the palm trees last time. So I've been trying to.
And the piano in the living room. It was funny. I like the line. Yeah, we know how to handle these things. Oh, so you've had kidnappings before? I take it. Happened before the series started. Was everybody?
Well, I have this when Cliff comes in and he gives him the letter and Jock opens it and he reads it. These are the three demands. He says. On the letter, $1,500,000, which is a lot of money then. I mean, it's a lot of money now, but in 78, that was a lot of money. And then it says, I don't know. See, that's what I'm saying. Just round the motherfucker up. And then it says, no police or FBI. And then it says, his life depends on these demands. Okay, after he says that, Pam's just talking. Pam doesn't shed a tear. Like, that really bothers me. If my husband's kidnapped, I'm going to be like, oh my God, what's going on? And like, she doesn't even, she's like, we have to figure this out. Don't interfere. Like, no, you know, I guess maybe she's trying to be like calm and in charge, maybe. I don't know, but she does not shed one tear at all. And then Sue Ellen's just standing in the door with her hands crossed, says not one word. If you go back and look at it, she says not one word.
From the time that Cliff comes in.
She's probably impressing Cliff with her eyes.
Maybe so.
Okay, so I have the costume designer. For men is named Richard Mahoney. And for women...
That's for this episode?
It's for this episode, and it seems like a number of other episodes this season, so it could be for the whole season. And it's just, this one in particular, they went all out for. Yeah. And then Sharon Williams is the costume designer for the women. So.
Okay. Well, the next day, JR's checkered gray suit is horrid. So we can give an right. X. We can give an X on that one because it fucking sucks and it's disgusting and it's like the whole thing's the same pattern. It's so ugly. Sorry.
We did have a couple of firsts in this. I noticed in this the first scene that Ray and Cliff appeared in together.
Oh.
In the living room, and the first scene in the foyer. It was the first time that we had J.R. Sue Ellen and Cliff together.
Oh.
Oh, I did see that. Okay, yeah.
That was a first.
This is where it started dragging, though, because they send Cliff off to look for all those clues and the buried shit and the pot plant.
And it just, that montage took forever of him just, like, walking, like, checking under rocks and walking in a park and, like, oh, my God.
It was a filler of 10 minutes plus commercials.
I fast-forwarded through it.
It reminded me of in my one of my film classes at UMass Amherst, the teacher one day said, do you know what the difference between a regular movie and a porno is? And we're going, oh God, Tim, why are you talking about this? And he goes, in a regular movie, someone will call you up and say, oh, come on over the house. So they'll hang up the phone and the next shot is they're at the house ringing the bell. In the porno, they like to break up all the sex scenes, so they show them walking to the house. This is like one of those, they have all these filler scenes. So it's like Cliff going all around. It was like a filler scene in a porno, just like breaking up all the porn.
Christ.
Oh my God.
But did you notice in the, we know we're shooting in California because in the flower box scene, you could see a palm tree in the background.
I did not notice that.
They probably didn't either.
Yeah, obviously.
Well, after, Yeah, after the filler scene, it just basically cuts to Bobby in the room with a scruffy beard. And I said, how long has he been there? Because I know my ex-husband took a good 3 or 4 days to grow a little bit of a scruffy beard. So I don't know how that works. So
I want to know more about Gilhooly. I want to know his story a little more here. They kept referring to Gilhooly, right? The guy that was killed in a previous kidnapping.
Oh, I don't know. I guess that was their accidental killing mistake.
Nothing happened that next day because then they cut to nighttime. So it was just like a wasted day.
It basically was Bobby's scruffy beard, the girl kidnapper kisses Bobby, and I put, what the fuck? And then Cliff goes to meet the kidnappers. That was basically the cut.
Yeah.
I don't know. It the whole episode was weird. The whole thing was weird.
It's bizarre.
Because then JR and Jack send out Ray to set the trap and everything like that. And JR with a gun was kind of laughable, with a rifle.
It is a boy jacket. I don't understand, why he wears it. I don't know. I will say, I actually put safari jacket, and he had a yellow scarf around his neck.
It's true, you did. Well, it's a look, well, man.
That was to keep from getting sunburned. You know, when the sun came up, it can be very, very intense in those Texas mornings, when you're out in the prairie.
But he obviously had a lot of those scarves, because the next day he had a red one on in the dim cocktail hour.
That's a whole collection of scarves.
Yes.
How early did they have to get there to set up so that nobody saw them? And then how did no one see them? I just don't get it. They weren't that well hidden.
No, they were not.
In Texas, it's really flat. I feel like they would have seen them a mile away.
And that shootout, JR could have taken Cliff out and put an end to the whole thing right there and saved everyone 40 years of whatever. But
I love how Bobby runs back to jump on Cliff and save him. And I was like, Cliff could have just hit the ground, but I don't know. It just happened so fast. I don't know. It was like a damsel in distress.
And Cliff was quick to point out that JR was trying to have him killed, or he was shooting at him and that sort of thing. And JR's line at the end of the episode, no, Cliff was never safer in his life.
Yeah. Yeah, and then it cuts to Bobby Holmes, safe with Pam, with his beard shaved.
And Bobby goes, no, I was a little worried. Yeah, right. A little?
Yeah, it was a very weird ending, because it basically ended, right after.
Yeah.
Right.
Basically.
It's awful.
Another self-contained garbage piece. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I really hate they have. Yes, but I hate they have, because I know this is, further on, but, after the JR the big episode, the major cliffhanger thing, it really does get better. So I hope anybody that's watching just ignores these, every third episode is kind of shitty. So
right.
Now the next episode was self-contained, but it was rich in backstory.
So rich in backstory.
Yes.
I loved it. Yes. The next episode's awesome.
We should have just bagged them. Don't even pour shots of bourbon for this one.
Yeah, no bourbon. No bourbon for you.
Well,
kidnapped.
I only gave it 3, but I only did that because I don't even know why I did that. Actually, I mean, Jock's glasses. I gave it a 3.8 for Jock's glasses.
Jock's
if it gets nice anything, it's because JR and Cliff are forced to work together for the first time.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that did kind of give a little, maybe a little bit of a scenario. I don't know. But I liked it.
Percival said he never got to have many scenes with Barbara Belgetti's at South Fork, so that was a pleasure for him.
Right.
But yeah. One note is the deaths of Al and Will, they have name, are the first ones on the series. They're the first characters to die in this series,
Wow.
Who?
The bad guys. The kidnappers.
The two kidnappers.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, they deserved it. They kidnapped Bobby.
They should have killed that bitch.
The only other note that I have, and that it's from the very beginning of the episode, and it was Lucy's lines, because they just have her talking about stuff, and she's talking about how she's gained weight. And then they're like, what? And you shouldn't be eating so much sweets at school. And then she's like, no, it's all these potatoes that Teresa makes. And I'm like,
what do you think you're doing, young lady?
I gained a few pounds, Grandma.
You eat a proper breakfast and keep away from the candy machine in that school of yours.
I never touch the candy machines. It's all those mashed potatoes Teresa makes.
This is a weird. It was a really weird conversation we having.
You know she's not eating sweets at school because she's not going to school. So that nullifies that there.
Yeah, it was bizarre. Yeah. There. So that was my last note, and I'm done with this episode.
I'm done. Go away. Yeah. Goodbye.
I'm done. Hey, and if you're done listening to this, you should just go find us on Facebook and join our group, or check us out on Instagram or Twitter. And I think I'm going to, if you're on your smartphone, what I'm going to do is add all of our social media stuff in the show notes. So then you can just find that easy. Mm-hmm. I have not done that previously, and I think I'm going to start doing that. So, yeah. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye, y'all.
Never want to get kidnapped again. Goodbye.
Have you ever been poor? Have you ever scrubbed up people's dirt to make a living? I bet your wife's hands don't look like these. I'd do anything for money.